Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So last week, Sonia gave a message titled, What is the Church? And talked through a number of the different facets of what a church is. And this week, I'm going to continue that. But I've titled this message, The Church is the Family of God. Because as was pointed out, I have a real strong love for God and for the church. And I just want to try and bring some of that love to light for others here. While preparing this message, I felt quite a strong conviction to bring a message that would deepen your understanding in one or more areas of what it means to be part of the church, what it means to be part of the family of God. And because you are part of that family of God, what it means to be spiritually adopted by God. Because I don't think we understand what that really means. But as this message is about family, I thought, what better way to start this than to share a little bit about myself? Because we're all different here. None of us are the same. None of us have had the same upbringing or adult life. And we all come at this from our different experiences because that is what makes us different. It's what makes us unique. And so I grew up with a Christian mother and went to church from probably the day I was born, I think. But my dad wasn't a Christian. So mum and us boys, and I say boys because I'm one of five boys. So we all went to church, and sometime around the age of 10, I felt this intense desire to know more about God. I know I'd given my heart to God sometime before that, but around the time I turned 10, I felt this intense desire to just push into Him more, and as a 10-year-old, went through a six-month Bible course so that I could take communion, because at that point I was in the Anglican church and you have to be 18 or an adult to take communion in the Anglican church unless you have done a course. And for me, taking communion was that important, right? So that love of the Bible has carried me through my life, and I know a lot about the Bible, and it trips me up from time to time. But one thing that I have grown in, especially in the last 10, 15, 20 years now, I'm just thinking through that, is after a lot of my upbringing, I grew up in Baptist and Anglican churches, and it was only later in life that I came to Assemblies of God, ACC, Apostolic churches, and I've really learned what it means to be a spiritual Christian, because that is not the focus of those other churches. And learning that has coincided with getting married. So I have a beautiful wife. We've been married just over 25 years. We have two boys here who are trying to shrink into their seats. And I love sport. I love sport in general. I would play any sport if it was offered to me, and wake up the next morning extremely sore these days. But yeah. So that's just a little bit about me, and where I come from and what makes me tick. So today, I'm going to talk through a few things. I'm going to talk about the church as God's family, the implications of being God's children. So that means, what does it actually mean to be a child of God? And how we should be living out our spiritual family relationship. You know, what does it actually mean to be in a spiritual relationship with others? Because so often, we focus on what it means to be in a physical relationship with others, our friends, our wives, our kids, whatever. But what does that mean from a spiritual perspective? So let's jump in. The scripture for today comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 18. So that goes, for all who are led by the Spirit. Oh, and I'll just apologize. I forgot to tell Levi that I was going to read from that NLT. The ESV is up there, I think. So it'll be slightly different, but it should be mostly the same. So for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. That's just amazing. So the context, because like me talking about myself, I think it's really important that when you read the Bible, you understand why it was written. Because different books of the Bible or letters as they were back in the day are written for different reasons. So Romans, where this comes from, was a letter written by Paul to the church in Rome around 57 AD. So that's like 25 years after Jesus died, 30 years after Jesus died. So it's like really, really close, right? Romans was written by Paul, who, as many of you know, started off life as a Jewish Pharisee and later became a Christian. He went from persecuting Christians, from walking totally the opposite path to what God wanted him, to getting on the path, to being one of us. And so he was acutely aware of everything he wrote, right? Pharisees of the day were theologians. They were scholars. They were the intellectuals of the time. So when they wrote things, when they preached things, they knew the meaning behind the words. They didn't just speak words. And so because of that, as a Jew and an ex-Pharisee, Paul knew God's law. Paul was also a Roman citizen, which is really interesting because not everyone who wrote books in the Bible were Roman citizens. Obviously, the Old Testament they weren't, but not necessarily in the New Testament. And so because of that, he knew Roman laws. He knew Roman customs. And he used those in his writings and to keep himself safe from time to time. So what is family? Well, the world, and this was really interesting actually for me to jump into a dictionary and actually read what the world says a family is. A family is a socially recognized group of individuals, often united by ties of marriage, blood, cohabitation, or adoption. This group typically forms an emotional connection and serves as an economic unit. Doesn't that just sound wonderful? Bible, on the other hand, a family is a group of Christian believers bonded through physical and spiritual relationships under God as their Father. We come together to share one identity as Christian believers, not separate identities. We become one. You know, and Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 6 talks about this. It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now, we look further into what the Bible says, and we look at the Old Testament, because I find it important to look at the Old Testament, because, again, it gives me more context of what was to come later, you know. And we look at the Old Testament, and what happens? Well, straight out of the gates, God looks around and goes, I need a people. Israel, you look awesome. So he grabs them, and they are the first people that are adopted into God's kingdom, right? And that's really important, because we were adopted into God's kingdom too, right? Now, unfortunately, Old Testament times, God wanted an outward sign of their adoption. And so, if you're a bloke, so 8 days after you were born, you were circumcised. Now, that was part of the ritual. However, if you were an adult convert to Judaism, you were also baptized as an adult, as part of your ritual cleansing ceremony to become part of the Jewish tribe. And for the ladies in the congregation who are wondering what that meant for them, this is probably the only time I can see in Scripture where you got off quite lightly. Because a woman had to be immersed in a mikveh, which, in other words, is a ritual bath. Now, I think I'd rather that than the other. Also, while studying the Old Testament, I came across this wonderful term that every time I read it, I think it's amazing. And it's mishpachah. And it's a Jewish word. And it means family or clan or kind. It's used over 300 times in the Old Testament to describe the peoples of Israel. And so when you talk about family using this word, it talks about your immediate family. So it's your husband, your wife, your kids. It also talks about your kin, which is your extended family. So your brothers, your sisters, their families, your friends. But your kind is all of humanity. So already in the Old Testament, they're using this term that potentially encapsulates everyone who was ever born, not just people who were part of the Israelites. Then we come to the New Testament. And becoming a part of a family of God now becomes open to everyone. Every one of us can be adopted. When we all become a Christian, we become adopted into God's family. No longer does he need a physical circumcision, because when we make that decision, he circumcises our hearts. Right. Romans 2:29 says, a true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God and not people. So in the church family, God is the Father, no one else. Which is good, because I wouldn't want to be father to that many children. he gives our church identity. We're the bride of Christ. And he gives each of us a spiritual essence, the Holy Spirit who enters us. We would be no different to the world if we did not have these. And more importantly, as his bride, we should be living each and every moment of our lives showing him how much we love him, how much we want more of him in our lives. He guides, cares, and nurtures the church community, just like a loving parent does their children, only on a much larger scale. And we see this all through Scripture. We are a family who should be shaped by God's love, this group of people in this room, the wider church. Because if we do, we will have a close-knit, spiritually healthy family. But if we don't, and unfortunately many of us have experienced what happens when we don't, we see church splits, we see backstabbing of church members, and we see issues throughout the church, which is what we hear about in the news even today. So what does it mean to be faithful believers? It means that we are children and heirs. It means we are spiritually adopted as his children. John 1:12-13 says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So when we become a Christian, God will circumcise your heart. He will want to draw you closer. We give our heart to him. We give our lives to him. And then for many of us, the outward sign of that is when we get baptized later on. Because baptism and conversion they can be the same day, the same moment, but that is not always the case. And so that baptism is really our public declaration that, yes, I have made that decision to be a child of God. I believe I am adopted. I believe I am loved. I believe he is my father. And because of that, we can have a close relationship with him. Jesus came, died, and rose so that we could have a personal relationship rather than a religious relationship. You know, and that's one of the really big differentiators between, you know, different churches around the world, is some still believe that you need to pray to the priest. Whereas we believe that you can pray directly to Jesus, directly to God, and talk with him and have that personal relationship. Because as a member of God's family, and this is really important, he never promised that everything would be wonderful all the time. Right? It's the same in any family. No family is perfect. There are going to be troubles. Romans 8:18, as I read earlier, says, but if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Right? And that's what we see here on earth, is suffering. And that's every time. Sorry, it makes me sad just to think about it. But it is what we have to go through. But as believers who are heirs, we also share an internal promise, an internal inheritance from Christ, which is why we need to be faithful to the end, which is why we should all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Because it signifies, you know, this signifies our privileged status as being part of God's family. And Romans 8:16-17 talks about this. You know, it finishes with, in fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. And that's just, I mean, that's amazing. So as God's children, what does it mean for us here and now? It means we've been adopted into God's family. And I am covering some of these things again because I believe it's important that you hear them, right? I work in business, and some of the neuroscience studies and courses that I've been sent on talk about the number of times you need to hear something before it gets reinforced and before you start to believe it. And so there's a few things in here that I will repeat, and I don't apologize for it, because we all need to get it into the core of who we are. So we have been adopted into God's family. This means we have access to his unlimited love, his unlimited protection, his blessings, and the list goes on. That doesn't mean, however, that he is our little ATM, where when we're going through a problem, we pray and he'll just fix it straight away. That is not how God works. You know, he calls us to a higher standard of responsibility. He calls us to be accountable for our actions rather than waiting on him saving us every time. The other interesting thing about being adopted is when we look at what it means in context. And if we go back to Roman law, which is what Paul would have been referring to when he talked about being adopted. And we have to look at that, because the letter that was written to the church in Rome. So it was written to a group of Roman people, right? So a person who was adopted in Roman law, and really listen to this, a person who was adopted in Roman law was completely cut off from their previous family. Their debts, our sins, everything cut off at that moment of adoption, right? And they were granted full rights and a guaranteed inheritance in their new family. And interestingly, when you delve into it, the feeling of the time, the legal precedents of the time showed that adopted children actually had more right to an inheritance than a natural born child. So none of us were born into the kingdom. We were all adopted, right? Paul knew this. He knew that these words would mean certain things to the Romans he was writing to. And so he used these terms to convey and reinforce the finality and the security of our new identity as children of God. It also means that we are not just friends or relatives dropping by, but we are part of the fabric of the family of God, forever woven into his story. Right? Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22 talks about this. It says, So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone of Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him you Gentiles are also made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. because we are part of his kingdom, his dwelling, we must live in obedience to him. We should reflect his love, his kindness, and holiness throughout how we live our lives and how we act toward others. This is why when we look throughout history, it was churches that set up the first hospitals. It wasn't a secular thing, and even today, many hospitals are run out of churches, right? It was churches who did missionary work and went around the world helping people. It was churches who helped the poor and the needy. The other way that we reflect his love and kindness is a bit like a husband and wife. We become more and more like each other as we spend more time together, as we grow to love each other more and more. The only difference in our relationship with God is the fact that he's already perfect and he doesn't need to grow like us, right? So as we grow closer to God, we will grow closer to him to be more like him. This is part of our growth and our spiritual maturity. It is not enough for us to sit in church our entire lives, to be a baby Christian our entire lives, to be wannabe spoon-fed. We need to grow up and learn to eat for ourselves. We need to, you know, as Sonia talked about, we need to be in the Word daily. We need to deepen our faith and our understanding of God. And we must care for the family of God. You know, I wrote that down and I thought, what can I share on that? And immediately, an image of Jesus on the cross came to mind. Because he was on that cross when he looked down and he saw his mother, who did not have a family now because he was the eldest son. And he organized for someone else to look after his mother, his family. Right? That's how much he cares about family, that even in his final moments, he made sure that his family was secure. Eternally, which is much better than here, we have a shared inheritance with Christ. As a member of God's family, we were never promised everything would be fine here. But he did tell us that in eternity, if we believed in him, if we stayed faithful to the end, that we would have eternity with him, that we would be in heaven, that we would be worshiping God for all of eternity. And this life is but a tick compared to the rest of eternity. You know, this shows our privileged status in God's family, because this promise is not for everyone, it's for his children. And again, just to come back to it, you know, Romans 8, 16 and 17. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are the heirs of God's glory. So just as I come towards the end, I'll just invite the band members back up. So as the family of God, we need to come together in unity and love. We need to come together as covenant family. And that means both spiritually and physically. You've probably heard the term covenant family before, and I've just used it now. But what does it actually mean? It means that there is a sacred agreement or a binding promise that includes God's promises, responsibilities, and signs. But this covenant relationship is not aimed at your biological family. It is towards you and your spiritual family that you come together, and it includes all believers around the world. And that means not just Pneuma Church members. That means not just ACC members. That means every church where they believe that God is the head. Right? We cannot be part of that family of God unless we accept and care for each other physically and spiritually. Right? It is not up to us to judge one another. We don't know where anyone else is at. We get a really good idea when we're married, and that's probably as close as we're ever going to get. But we don't know what anyone else has gone through. My youth leader, when I was growing up, told the story of why we shouldn't judge others. And he was a comedian, but he talked about how he went to this camp for youth leaders at one point, and there was a guy, they were getting ready in the showers in the morning, and there was a guy there shaving, going on about how he hadn't sinned since he came to Christ, you know, and it had been years. And my youth leader, who was a comedian, he thought it would be a good idea to stick his shaving brush in the guy's mouth while he was talking. And the gentleman sinned instantly. So we need to remember, if someone had walked into those showers and seen him sinning, he wouldn't have understood the context for it, right? We are called to love one another, not judge. Just as Jesus did and as he commanded in John 13, 34 to 35, when he said, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So we need to support and build up one another as we're all growing in our faith, and all just doing the best we can to walk in God's way. So one of the worldly theories that I've come across in my business life, and I think it's actually quite fascinating, and it holds true, and it'll hold true for you as a Christian as well. And the theory is that you will become the average of the five people you spend most of your time with. And so if we talk about that from a worldly perspective, the examples that are regularly used are, if you hang around five millionaires, you will probably become the sixth. If you hang around five sports stars, you will probably become the sixth. But also, if you hang around five clowns, right? So for us, to bring that home, if you hang around five Christians who are more mature than you in one way or another, you will become the sixth. Right? And so one thing that became really clear to me, and I say more mature in one way or another, and this is really important, and I mentioned this earlier, is I did a lot of Bible study growing up, but it was only when I started going to an apostolic and an Assemblies of God church that I started to really understand the spiritual aspect of my faith, right? So, and she's not here today, but Becky, who we all know and love, I met her first in a Baptist church, but there was something about her. And then to see her spiritually come alive was just, I saw something and I'm like, I need that. I am missing that in my spiritual walk, right? So it doesn't matter how far along you are in your spiritual walk, find someone else who has something of God that you want more of and push into them. And you know, Galatians 6, 2 to 3 says, "Share each other's burdens and this way obey the law of Christ." If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. So that goes both ways. You need to look for help. You need to look for someone to build you up. You also need to look for who you can build up. Right? And we must, and I know must is a really strong word, and I get told at work I'm not allowed to use must because it scares people, but we must hold each other accountable, as it strengthens each other's faith and encourages spiritual growth in the whole family. We need to encourage each other in our faith, uplifting others as this builds a strong and united church family. You know, 1 Thessalonians 11, 9 to 11 says, "For God chose to save our Lord, save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever." So encourage each other and build each other up just as you're already doing. So if we are truly living in a spiritual family relationship, in a healthy spiritual family relationship, then it needs to impact our lives. We need to live in a way that opens the door to God hearing, to hearing from God, and allow our actions to be shaped by Him. We need to be growing closer to God and increasing our knowledge of Him through regularly studying His Word, because as I said, what you focus on will be what you grow in. We need to have an active prayer life. This means praying to Him and sitting in silence, listening for His voice. Because the more we learn to listen and be comfortable waiting on God, the more we will hear Him speak, and more importantly, the more we will be able to discern when He speaks and when we hear ourselves thinking things. Right? It's like in a marriage. We hear each other's voice. It cuts through the noise. You ask Roxanne, I can be on the other side of a noisy room, and she will hear exactly what I'm saying. And it's because she knows my voice. Right? We need to be active in our faith through stepping out when He asks us to, in ways that could seem big or small for us. But remember, He has asked you to do it, so it's important. You know, only He fully knows the importance of what you have been asked to do. And an example that I was going to use on another sermon, but it fit in here perfectly, was the example of gridiron players. And I don't know how many of you know or watch American football, but there's a group of guys that line up with another group of guys, and each play will last for 5 or 10 seconds at the most. But in that play, there could be 20 different things happening, you know, and someone might take 2 steps one way and that's all they do, but it's to throw someone else off from their job, right? And God might be asking you to do that today. He might be asking you to be the faint so that someone else can get through. So don't, you know, when God calls, He wants you to step out. It's about growing our faith. So in closing, I just encourage each of you to lean into and embrace your identity as children of God. Form a deep spiritual connection with God. That's wonderful, but don't forsake those around you. Always look for how you can be building others up around you too. Become an active part of the church family. Build up the community. Pray for opportunities to support the church, to support others, to encourage, to serve the church family. That could be here on a Sunday. That could be taking a meal to someone's house. That could be visiting someone when they're sick, or giving someone a ride to the airport, or you name it, right? And the final thing is, remember that each one of you has been placed in the family of God here and now for such a time as this. You're not too early, you're not too late. You are on time. You are on His time. It may not be your time, but on His time. So be open to the leading of God in your life, because He wants to lead you if you will just let Him.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.